Hello, my name is Kirk. I am a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I struggle with codependency, anger, lust, and selfish pride. The insanity of my life before Celebrate Recovery was trying to prove to myself and others that I was a perfect person. My perfectionism to being a loving, kind, thoughtful, hardworking man. I was willing to do just about anything for anyone that had a need. This self-imposed impossible standard of perfectionism and later codependence left me constantly feeling guilty and unable to share my feelings. I carried this shame from my childhood into my adult life. I remember as a very young child kneeling at my mother's bed and asking Jesus to come into my life. I felt his forgiveness of my sins for me. I truly believe that this simple child confession of faith has guarded my heart and life ever since that day. I was born in Eugene, Oregon in 1963. My sister and I grew up in a Christian home. My parents were raised in Christian families as well. They both knew God's principles of love and forgiveness. My father and mother came from families that did not express their feelings much. So each of them had their own set of identity problems as kids and adults. Unfortunately, my mother suffered from severe depression and unhealthy ways of dealing with it. Drugs and adultery, along with attempted suicides, became her escape. By the time I was 4 years old, my mother had separated from my father and was seeking a divorce My father was having a hard time with the separation and some mental confusion of his own. He felt we would be better off cared for by a loving foster family my grandmother knew. My mother, who had been in and out of mental hospitals, was not currently allowed to have visitation privileges with my sister or I. On the day of my fifth birthday, we saw our mother walking down the street. We asked my father to pull over to say hello. My mother pleaded to my father that she would like to just have a couple of hours with me and my sister to celebrate my birthday. My father granted my mother's wish. Little did my father know that only minutes later, my mother would ask a friend of hers to help her kidnap us. We only had the clothes on our backs and were very frightened to be taken away from our father and loving foster home family. My sister and I spent the next month on the road with my mom and a young hippie couple that helped her. We were forced to travel in the back of an old pickup with a canopy that had no windows, light, or heat. Sometimes traveling in very cold, freezing November conditions across Idaho, Montana, and North Dakota at night. We stayed a month at an abandoned mining shack without running water, sometimes not having much to eat. We picked watercress that was growing in the ice-frozen creek. I was told that I could not wear my glasses, and we were both given a different names to use since the police were looking for us. My sister and I were in the media bulletins as missing children. Thankfully, this living on the road all came to an end in Detroit when we were dropped off to get some help at a church. We were all put up in a group home. My sister and I were sent to school, and we were the only white children in the school. I was daily called names, cursed, and chased home after school. I was constantly threatened to being beaten up. A few months later, we were reunited with my father and returned to our foster home. God's protection was with us. I realize now that we could have been physically or sexually abused. I thank God for the prayers of so many family and friends that were praying for our safe return. We moved to Medford, Oregon, and spent the next 3 years with a loving Christian foster home family. My father visited us regularly, and he remarried a very loving wife that cared and loved for us as her own children. I was 8 years old by this time, and we came to live with our father and new mother in Portland. I wish I could say that I lived happily ever after. I realize now that much damage to my security and self-image was already in place. I acted out in school and tested my parents' love. They were patient and kind, but never allowed me to go undisciplined. My junior high and high school years were hard. I did not fit in socially, and I made only a few good friendships. My relationship with God was still alive. I was encouraged to have my own time with God. My parents were a great example of people who knew they needed a daily personal life with Jesus. As a family, we prayed daily and went to Sunday worship services together. My parents encouraged honesty and good communication. We, as a family, were always helping people in need, both physically and spiritually. In my childhood, I had become too hurt to be honest with myself or others. I learned to hide my sins from people and only ask God to forgive me. I needed people I could trust, not realizing that they were all around me. I just could not get out of my shell. When I turned 18 years old and graduated from high school, I moved out of the house and started to really own my relationship with Jesus. I finally decided to get baptized and make a public confession of Christ. I was very happy as an adult and to be on my own. I was working hard, playing hard, and having some quiet time with the Lord daily. I even began leading some church youth which was called Royal Rangers. I was taught by my parents to be responsible, and I was excelling at work. I enjoyed reading the Bible, yet studying books in college did not interest me. Through hard work and being responsible, or codependent, I climbed up the corporate ladder and eventually was promoted to operations manager. My social progress was slow. I was very shy of women and did not feel confident of being in a male-female relationship. Sometimes I would allow pornography to steal my confidence and purity even more. I did not know how to bring myself to confession and accountability with another person. The shame seemed insurmountable. After all, wasn't I a good Christian man? What would people think of me if they knew I had lusted and was looking at pornography? When I was 23 years old, I met a Christian woman that was beautiful and kind to me. She had a wonderful 3-year-old son from a previous relationship. I thought maybe I could be that knight in shining armor for her. Neither of us really were ready for a marriage relationship, yet I was in love with her and that fun 3-year-old boy. I felt that I had found the person that would fill my needs and insecurities. I was determined and thought that I could make it work. As we got to know each other, I decided to take a big risk and tell her about my shame-loaded past. She did not run away, but grew more interested in me. This was a big motivating factor for me. I thought, if I could be real with this woman, share my shameful past and childhood, and she still loved me, it would work. Unfortunately, we got involved sexually, and I could not listen to any wise counsel. My parents wanted me to wait and work through some areas of concern about relationships, forgiveness, and poor communication. We had our own sexual shame now that we were concealing. We had confessed to each other and God, but had not confided in our pastor. I ignored wise counsel and married as soon as we could. Our first year of marriage was very hard. We had not learned how to communicate with my wife without my wife feeling attacked. My wife was not capable of allowing any honest feelings to be expressed to her or given. I wanted desperately to communicate and share our lives honestly. She was raised in a family that only allowed silence and rare emotional eruptions. We went to counseling, and I found out that I was the only one that needed to change. Over the 25 years we were married, I enjoyed the marriage and the family life the best I could. I began carrying the burden of keeping our marriage problems hidden. I did not want this, but caved to the sexual and relational pressures that were put on me to keep a lid on it. I felt my wife's pressure of don't talk or share your problems with me or anyone else. This led to a very weak marriage relationship, and I started to feel my pain with outside efforts. I sometimes secretly shared my feelings and hurts with friends or family. I doubled my efforts to be a great husband and father. I was living a lie. I could not let my wife know I was sometimes sharing my pain with others. When she did find out I was sharing with someone, I felt shamed by her and stopped for a while. I would try to comply with the unreasonable request and fill in the rest of the relationship in a codependent lifestyle, never able to really measure up to the ever-rising expectations my wife was putting on me. My two boys and I were all in the same camp together. I could not make the wife or mom happy, no matter how hard we tried. The bar was always lifted higher until we failed. Our old past sins were brought forward time after time, so when my boys became men, they left the home, and I was left with a wife and a daughter that was not happy with me. I was typically ignored when I came home from work. They did not want to talk or be interested in our life or allow me to take interest in theirs. Consequently, I believe my wife and daughter felt my unspoken pressure to relate to me and may have had their own guilt of ignoring our relationship. This led to a deteriorating relationship with my wife and daughter, and I desperately wanted them to know that I loved them and desired healthy communication. The harder I tried, the farther away they withdrew from me. In order to fill the loneliness and discomfort of this relationship, I would try to do more acts of kindness or volunteer more at church. I continued to be involved in prayer and Bible studies, but rarely cried out to others for help. I tried to keep a stiff upper lip. My pride and codependent lifestyle would not allow me to be a truly honest. I really did not like what was going on in my life and our family. I felt that I had to portray the perfect Christian family every Sunday morning. We would go to church, be nice, and say nice things to people, while at home the separation of our feelings and thoughts grew wider. I still went through all the family functions, meals, working together, home improvement, counseling, marriage seminars, vacations, holidays, and with friends and family. I was building a huge load of sin and shame that included pride on the top. On the outside, I looked well-groomed. I was kind, smiling, friendly, caring, hardworking, religious, husband and father. On the inside, I was getting ready for a boiling over of emotions. The boiling over happened when I tried to fill my need for a female companionship and evoke my wife's jealousy by searching online for a female friend to do some fun activities with. My wife was very angry with me, and I was caught doing something that I thought I would never even think about doing, trying to have another relationship with a woman while being married. Though I never did meet anyone, the damage of the broken trust had been made by me. When that did not get me the desired effect, I decided to shoot and kill the family dog. I felt the dog was taking the affection and time away from me. I rationalized it due to the dog biting me when I went to feed it one day. In the sickness of my own mind, I thought that I could solve my hurting relationship with my wife and daughter by eliminating the competition. I did not think about the hurt and the broken trust that this act would create. I admitted to my sin of killing that precious dog shortly after my wife decided to separate and pursue a divorce with me. My daughter had made it clear that she does not want to see or relate to me in any way after this incident. 4 months after the separation, I was let go from my job. My life was unraveling, and my brokenness led me to a big desire to see what was wrong in my life. I started getting counseling at Good Samaritan Ministries. I was encouraged to find a 12-step program in addition to my counseling. I looked up Christian 12-step on the internet and found Celebrate Recovery here at Rolling Hills. I started attending and began the lifelong process of healing. I am beginning to understand the importance of people in my relationship to Jesus Christ. I once thought it was a personal, private relationship with Jesus. I thought I should only share with people the good and positive things like forgiveness, going to heaven, or answered prayers. I began sharing my lifelong loneliness and abandonment pain with men in the General Issues small group. They listened and did not react. I immediately found out I was not the only man in the world to experience this type of loneliness or pain. I made an effort each week to attend and participate in worship, small group, and prayers with my fellow brothers and sisters. I was amazed at all the new friends I made in just a matter of weeks. The depth of my relationships was already exceeding my expectation, and I felt blessed. I would say to myself, how does God know my deepest needs? I think it started out with me being honest with myself, God, and a few people. I can trust. A few months later, after I started attending Celebrate Recovery, I was able to join a group of men in a step study that redefined my relationship to God and other men. Even though it was really unknown where my life was headed, being in a divorce and now unemployed, I felt God was going to use my hurts, hang-ups, to help me be honest with myself, God, and other people. God gave me this very simple verse at that time, Psalms 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." When I completed Principle 6, Step 9, we made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would to injure them or others. I experienced the biggest relief from guilt, shame, and self-pity. Being in a step study and having an accountability partner along with a sponsor allowed me to share myself deeply and the strength to go out and make my amends to my ex-wife, my daughter, and the rest of the family and others I have hurt. Not everyone was interested in forgiving me. That, I learned, was not the purpose. The purpose was for me to move on in my life and forgive myself, then allow God's healing to begin in me. The changes God began making in my relationships is incredible. My ex-wife and I are free from our past sins. She has forgiven me, and I have forgiven her. My relationships with my friends and family are more honest. I have a desire to be accepting of other people's ideas, thoughts, and emotions. I work at setting healthy boundaries, my relationships, and don't allow problems to go unresolved. I am now looking for God for my direction each day. I enjoy a more honest conversation with people. I try to share my hurts and hang-ups with safe people. I no longer keep my sins hid so that they grow to be bigger than life. I pray and ask God about new ideas, needs, and projects before committing to do them. I journal to help me stay honest and balanced. I ask for prayer from my accountability partners and sponsor. I allow myself to fail at doing all these good things and give myself the grace that God does. The greatest benefit I have found in being in Celebrate Recovery program is that you don't arrive. You just keep working the steps and allow God to show you what is next. Not concerned about arriving at the end, put being faithful to just take one step at a time. I don't have to have it all figured out. That's God's job, not mine. He has proven himself capable of handling my life if I humble myself before him. In Philippians 4:6-7, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will renew your heart." Do you feel that you are the only one that has a particular hurt or hang-up? I encourage you to go to a small group tonight and get honest. Ask somebody with a tag how you might join in a step study group. Very soon, you will be on your way to the best life God has for you. Having an honest relationship with Jesus is what God desires most for you. I spent 44 years striving with my own will and determination to do God's work. God did bless me and others regardless of my selfish pride. The difference is I am more open to relationships with people outside the church than I have been in the past. I am less fearful to make mistakes, say the wrong thing, or even be swayed a little by people that don't know Jesus. It is so much better to live life in love with everyone than to just stay safely corralled in the church pasture. I am involved in various activities that allow me a chance to serve and enjoy the recovery process. Being active in Celebrate Recovery, I am involved in different groups that do mountain biking, hiking, and motorcycling, helping the elderly and widows. I am praying about being a mentor to young men without fathers. I am a true believer in Celebrate Recovery and desire to co-lead a step study someday. I thank Jesus for bringing me to this place in my life. So many of you have prayed for me, encouraged me by your words and your own personal recovery. I now have a life filled with joy that goes beyond my daily circumstances. Thanks for listening to my story. and I look forward to hearing yours.